Hey guys, welcome back to the Kingdom Dynamics podcast. If you've ever taught somebody how to drive, or if you've ever considered explaining how to drive, it's something that is very difficult to explain. How to drive a manual vehicle. I was trying to explain to my kids, you know, how the gears work, you know, what the clutch does, what exactly is going on. And eventually, you just got to let them drive. You know, you've just got to be like, you know what? Let's just do this together. Because that's the way it is with the Bible. You can have a doctrine, for example, about the Trinity. But can you really explain the Trinity? Can you really explain the born-again experience? I mean, really, you can create a doctrine around the born-again experience. You know, we're born of the Spirit, we're born of above, your old man, your new man, new creation, transferred from the kingdom of light to the from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, seated in heavenly places. But really, you've got to have understanding. Understanding is supreme. You know, Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable about the kingdom, then you will not understand any other parable. And remember, every parable he preached was only about the kingdom. And he said, if you don't understand this parable, you see, understanding is about application. I can explain to my children that, you know, when you push this pedal, the clutch engages. Well, what's a clutch? What, you know, how do you... But at the end of the day, I've actually got to put them in a car and just tell them to drive. And that's what Jesus did. He showed people the kingdom. He often prayed saying, guys, this prayer isn't for my benefit. This prayer is for your benefit. He showed the disciples how to pray. He showed them how to live in intimacy with the Father. And today, if you have ears to hear, this is going to blow your mind. God has separated himself from the management of the earth. This is really critical to your understanding of the kingdom, that God cannot influence the earth because he has given the earth to man. You've got to understand that God delegated his authority to Adam in the garden. He said, you rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. The Bible is very clear about who has authority on the earth. It says that heaven is God's throne. The earth is his footstool. It says that the earth God has given to man. That is the reason that it required a man to take back the earth. Jesus Christ had to come as a man because a man lost the kingdom. You've got to understand that God is wanting to reclaim lost territory. It's rebirth, it's repentance, it's restoration, it's reconciliation. God is wanting to take back what was stolen. And there is a violence, and I'm going to explain it to you right now. But first, I want to talk about Peter said something really amazing in 1 Peter 1:23 or around there. He said, "The you have been born again by imperishable seed." So the seed that you received is the kingdom. That seed is also the Word of God. And the Word of God is also Jesus. Jesus, according to John chapter 1, is the Word of God made flesh. So, you receive Jesus. You receive Jesus into your heart, which is also the kingdom, which is also the Word of God. Now, I understood this because Jesus said the kingdom is like a seed that will grow to become the biggest tree in the garden. if you have truly received Jesus, if you have received the kingdom in your heart, then it is inevitable that with God's pruning and his discipleship and his discipline, that you will bear fruit. Jesus said, everyone who abides in me will bear fruit. He said, the seed that is sown into good soil will bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown. But if you don't bear fruit, then he's going to cut you off and he's going to throw you into the fire. The reason you don't bear fruit is because the worries of the world, they choke the seed. Because Satan, the birds of the air, they eat the seed. Even though you receive Jesus with great joy and abundance of overflow of life, you can lose it, okay? Many are called, but few are chosen. Narrow is the path that leads to life. Am I preaching the truth this morning? Now, the most important thing is that the Psalms say that how can your Holy One see corruption? They can't. Now, this is really important for you to understand today, right now. So, this is really important. It says in Psalm 16, verse 10, that Jesus' body would not see corruption, that God would not allow it to decay. Let me read it for you right now. Psalm 16, verse 10. For you will not leave my soul in hell, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. So I want you to know this. The imperishable seed that is sown in your heart that is imperishable, that kingdom seed is also the Word of God, which is also Jesus, which means that his physical body is imperishable. That's why he couldn't die in hell. That's why he had to be raised from the dead. How can you put life to death? How can you put the resurrection life to death? You can't. How can you turn out the light when he is the light? How can darkness overcome light? It cannot. That is why this all makes sense. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He is the Word of God. He is the kingdom. When you receive the Word of God into your heart, you're literally receiving Jesus into your heart. And if you allow him to grow, he will become the biggest tree in the garden. Now, the second part is that Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Okay, he said that to Peter. Listen, he also said that the kingdom would be like a mustard seed that grows to become the biggest tree in the garden, that the kingdom would be like yeast that leavens the entire lump of dough. He said in Isaiah that his word will not return void, but it will accomplish the thing for which he sent it. Jesus is that word that was sent, that will not return void, that will accomplish it. Now, the kingdom has been prophesied that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord would fill the earth as the water covers the sea. But the glory of the Lord is Christ in us. So Christ in us is the hope of glory. So we're talking about Christians filling the earth. And the Holy Spirit, according to Joel, will be poured out upon all flesh. So these things have been prophesied. So if you combine all of those scriptures with understanding, you will realize that Jesus Christ came as a seed, one seed. The moment that he came, the moment that the Holy Spirit fell upon him in the Jordan River, the kingdom began in that moment. The kingdom came with the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom has been suffering violence and the violent are taking it by force. John the Baptist was the end of the Old Testament. That's why Jesus said that he was the greatest of all the prophets, but the least in the kingdom is greater than John. What is he saying? He's saying that the kingdom began at that moment. The moment that John the Baptist water baptized Jesus, the Holy Spirit alighted upon his body and remained, that is the fulfillment, that was the coming of the kingdom. That was the beginning of the kingdom of light. That was the beginning of the New Testament. The kingdom of light obviously existed before that, but that was the moment that the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus in power. And then confrontation came. Confrontation always comes with the kingdom, because every human being on this planet is under the sway of the evil one. Until they're born again, they are the children of the devil. They are sons of Satan. They are only doing his will. They are slaves of sin, not slaves of righteousness like us. So Jesus Christ was living in a fallen world that was under the sway of the evil one. He was living in a world where everybody had the potential to take him out. The crowds would one day worship him, the next day they're trying to crucify him because they were under the control of the evil one. Jesus said, "I do not commit myself to a man." And that is the way that we have to live in the kingdom today. So John the Baptist died. The greatest prophet of all time, the icing on the cake for the Old Testament. And then Jesus Christ got water baptized, the Holy Spirit fell upon him, and he became the embodiment of the kingdom. The Bible says that the seed had to fall to the ground and die for it to grow. Jesus Christ died and created us this church, this new life. Every one of us now can receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "I have to go to the Father." He said, "You're going to be sad, but I have to go to the Father because I then will be able to send the Holy Spirit to you." So now that Jesus Christ is resurrected, having sowed that imperishable seed in the earth, now that seed is able to grow 30, 60, and 100 times and unlimited. Now that seed is able to take over the earth. And this is what I'm saying to you. It is inevitable. It is impossible for the kingdom to not take over. Because Jesus said it is like a seed that will grow. It is like a tree that will become the biggest tree in the garden. And he said to Peter that the gates of hell will not prevail. That is a guarantee to us that the kingdom of darkness can only lose territory from the moment that Jesus was here. It has not gained territory. It is losing territory. Doesn't matter how bad things look or how many nuclear bombs they dropped or how many people died. The kingdom is expanding. And the kingdom can only expand until the whole earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, until every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, until every knee bows, until we look upon the one that we've pierced. He will come back in power and take the kingdom by force. But there's something actually happening right now. We are moving into part three. Now we're coming into the most exciting part. If you have received Jesus, now all you need to do to receive Jesus is to say yes. We will stand before God, every man, every Aboriginal, everyone who's ever lived. We will all stand before God and be asked one question. What did you do with my son? Yeah, he's going to ask the Muslims. He's going to ask the Christians. He's going to ask the Hindus. Did you eat his body? Did you drink his blood? That is at the end of the day, we're going to be held accountable for what we did, for what we said. And it won't be like, you know, did you murder people? Did you quit smoking? Did you give money to the poor? All of those things are good and there are rewards on this earth and in heaven, probably. But what I'm saying is we will be held accountable for the most precious resource on the earth. Not time, not money. Did you steward and manage the blood of Jesus that God gave you? He gave his son for you. He gave his son for you. And when you look upon that cross and you see his arms pinned open, that is how much he loves you. That he poured out his blood onto the floor for you. Now you can understand the Old Testament and the sacrifices, and that's very real. God set out a pattern for forgiveness. You just watch a two-year-old punch another two-year-old, the two-year-old will automatically punch them back because we know inside there's justice. You go and snatch a lolly from a kid, They'll snatch it back because we know that we need justice. You know, if I ran over your child and then said, oh, sorry, mate, here's $50, that is not going to satisfy you. If I, you know, in the Old Testament, the law was given to show us what sin is. It's only when you put a parking sign that says no parking do you create the violation. If there's no sign saying no parking, then no one can stop you from parking. But the moment the policeman says, hey, there's a sign that says no parking, and your car is in front of that sign, then the policeman is authorized to give you a ticket. So God created the discrepancy to show us our sin, to show us what was really already there, which was our impossibly uncrossable chasm of separation from Him. That He is holy and we are not, that He is light and we were in darkness. So God used the Israelites to show us the way to salvation. As Jesus said, salvation is from the Jews. Now, Jesus Christ was a Jew. Get over it. But that there is a better way. The better way than killing bulls and goats is for God to kill His Son. Now, He laid down His life willingly. You might say the Jews killed Jesus, the Romans killed Jesus. We all killed Jesus. We all killed Jesus because we needed Him to die. He laid down His life. The Father said He gave His Son. So God, in a sense, killed Jesus too, didn't He? Because He did it for us. Now, we need to understand that the blood of Jesus Christ was pure, perfect blood. There is no one else who was worthy. Revelation says they were crying out, who can open the scrolls? There's no one found. No one was found who was worthy. On earth, in heaven, on earth, there was no angel, there was no demon, there was no man, there was no dog. There was no one who was worthy. And then they said, but then there was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There was the Lamb that was slain. Jesus Christ is the only one who lived a sinless life, and only He was worthy to open the scroll. And so He had to die for our sins because God looked upon His blood and He said, that is enough. That blood is enough to satisfy my need for justice. If I ran over your child, it wouldn't be enough to pay you $50, to buy you a house, to buy you a car, or to give you the whole world. Nothing would be enough. But God gave you His Son. That is enough. No matter what has been done to you, no matter what you've done against God, Jesus will satisfy that debt. Even the occultic people today, they sacrifice babies, they sacrifice chickens, they break chicken bones and cast spells because there is life in blood and there is a power in the blood. Abel and Cain, Abel's blood speaks. There's a supernatural power in blood. There's life in blood. But one drop of Jesus Christ cancels every curse, every debt. One drop of Jesus Christ. I invoke the blood of Jesus Christ right now to break every demonic curse that's ever been made on this earth. That's it. I've just done it. Every spell that's ever been spelled, every Aztec baby dedication that was sacrificed to Baal or Bahamut or whoever else has been cancelled because I right now apply the blood of Jesus Christ and cancel every occultic incantation and spell that's ever been made. Now, I'm not powerful. I can't do nothing. I can't do anything. But the blood of Jesus Christ right now has broken every curse. So what do we do? What do we do now? Part 4 is coming up. This is beyond comprehension, but I pray for the impartation. Holy Spirit, I ask for light to flood their minds right now. If they're not a believer, Lord, I ask that their eyes would be opened, that the God of this age who blinds unbelievers would be removed.
I cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, and I take every thought captive into the obedience of Jesus Christ. Guys, there's no point reading Ephesians, which says, and praying the prayer in Ephesians, which says, actually, forget that. We're going to go back. I'm going to stay with the pattern. This is beyond, guys. This is beyond. If you understand this, you understand everything. You will become an ambassador of the kingdom right now, a violent ambassador of the kingdom. Paul said, we don't get involved in civilian affairs. When you understand who you are, why you're here, the number one reason why you're on earth is to be an ambassador. The reason you're a Christian on the earth is to be God's agreement on the earth. Because as I said in the first part, he cannot influence this earth. He isn't here. Even Jesus isn't here. The Father isn't here in the sense that we are the church. We are the body of Christ. We're the ones on the earth. He needs to work through us. Let me prove it to you. So Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30 says, I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it, but I found no one. Similarly, it says in Psalm 14, verse 2, the Lord looks down from heaven on the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. Remember, God used a man to influence the earth. He couldn't do it. He told Adam and Eve, would you guys please manage the earth? Would you guys make earth look like heaven? He gave them everything they needed. They had a tree of life in the middle of the garden. They had all of the relationship with God, all of the authority they had, and they squandered it. But then he used Noah. He used, Joseph and Jacob and Jesus and Moses and all of these people, because God cannot influence the earth without man. Because legally he's separated, removed himself from the earth, given it to man. And as I said in the beginning, that's why Jesus Christ had to be the one to take back the keys off the devil. He literally snatched them out of his hands. The Bible says that he triumphed over the devil in the cross, making a public spectacle of him. And now Jesus said, I have all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So now, for the first time, from the resurrection and forevermore, the authority for both heaven and earth has been restored back to God and man. So similar to the Garden of Eden, but different. For the first time since the Garden of Eden, God and man are one. We're in agreement. Adam and Eve and God walked together in the cool of the day. They named the animals together in partnership. So we, the church, have been born again. We are again in partnership with God. We are again the Senate, the embassy, the deployment of God on the earth. We represent God on the earth. We have a direct line to God. Jesus said, you'll see angels ascending and descending upon me, upon the Son of Man, because there is a ladder, a stairway to heaven upon you and upon me. We see what the Father's doing and do it. We hear what the Father's saying and say it. That is understanding. Christianity isn't just, going to church and getting a doctrine like, oh, yes, the Trinity is three in one, and the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, have eternity together, and they're like three different persons in one. And like, I'm not mocking or disregarding the theology around that. But there's an impartation when you encounter the Trinity. You fall on your face. There's shaking, there's weeping, there's this incredible worship. You've got to understand As Proverbs said, above all else, gain wisdom, gain understanding, because understanding is the ability to do it. You can talk about wisdom, but are you wise? You can talk about productivity, but are you the first to get up in the morning and actually do it? God is interested in implementation. Jesus spoke many parables about stewardship. The one who has, more will be given. But the one who doesn't have, even what he has will be taken away. And we will be held accountable for every careless word that we spoke. Jesus is going to separate the wheat from the chaff, the weeds from the wheat, the goats from the sheep, the good from the bad. There is going to be accountability. There is going to be judgment. But the good news for us today is that if we are wrapped up in Christ, we have got work to do. And this is what we've got to do. We have got to stand in the gap. We are the ones who have the keys to the kingdom. We are the ones who have the Holy Spirit. And we are able to implement on earth as it is in heaven. That's right, church. Right now, we are God's only ability to bring heaven to earth. So what we're doing right now is we are looking for agreement. What I'm saying to you guys, and this is really heavy, I'm going to come back and do a part five. Now, this is the final part. John says that if we claim to know Jesus, to know God, then we will walk as he walks. So this is the secret. We have got to live like Jesus. We have got to literally be the kingdom. And we are the kingdom because the Holy Spirit is the kingdom. And if we've received Jesus, we've received the kingdom. He breathed on the disciples and said, I bestow, which is a royal commissioning. I bestow upon you, like the queen giving a knighthood, making you an order of the British Empire. God has made you the order of the kingdom. You are the kingdom on the earth. We are the same as Jesus on the earth. If you doubt that, just read the New Testament. Jesus, we literally are seated at the right hand of God on his throne. According to Jesus, according to Paul, we are literally, even Zechariah chapter 3 says, if you will obey God, you will have a place among those who stand here. Where was he standing? Where was the theophany, the angel of the Lord standing? In the throne room, in the courts of heaven. He said, if you will obey me, you will judge my courts. And now, thousands of years later, in the New Testament, we remember Paul said, do you not know, church, that you believers will judge the angels? We are going to judge angels. Remember, we're sharing this earth right now with demonic spirits. It's not just people on the earth. It's not just, you know, angels in the invisible realm, fallen angels locked up in prison. There's a lot going on that you don't see. But there are demonic spirits who you are cohabiting the earth with. And they are very active. Now, you, as a Christian, are authorized because Jesus said, finally, since Adam and Eve, the kingdom is mine. The kingdom has come. I've taken the keys of death and hell in Jesus' name. I am seated at the right hand of God. I've sent you the Holy Spirit. You are baptized in the Spirit. You're baptized in tongues. You've got gifts and prophecy. You're literally wearing the armor of God.
You've got the eyes that Jesus, your eyes are flames of fire. Your feet is varnished bronze. Your voice is the sound of many rushing waters. Because you are Jesus Christ on the earth. You are his body. He prayed that you would be one. You are literally one with Jesus. The Father is in you and you are in the Father and the Father's with you and you're with the Father and the Father and you are one. So now, what do? We live like Jesus lived. We see what the Father's doing and we do it. And this is it. This is the underline, capitals, highlighted, circled with asterisks around it. Write this down. You have to take the kingdom by force. Because every time you advance the kingdom, every time you implement the will of God, every time you agree with heaven, because what's heaven doing? Heaven is preaching good news to the poor. Heaven is laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. Heaven is rebuking the devil. Heaven is healing the blind, raising the dead. Heaven is setting people free. And every time heaven does something, the devil is losing territory. He hates that I'm preaching the truth right now. He hates that there's any one Christian on the face of the planet. He does not, because every time you do something, he loses territory. Because as I said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, which means every minute that you're here, he is losing territory. Every moment you're here, the kingdom of heaven is advancing by force. But if you would agree with God, if you would say what he's saying, even to text somebody an encouragement, even to preach the truth to somebody, tell them Jesus loves you, anything you do that is in line with the will of God is violently snatching territory from the devil. If you tell somebody that Jesus Christ is king and they agree with you, they are born again. They literally leave the territory of the devil. Colossians chapter 1 says you were transferred from the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light. In other words, the devil lost another one. The devil lost another one. He doesn't want you to pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. He doesn't want you to talk to people about Jesus because he's going to lose. He can only you lose and you can only win. Of course he wants you to be sick and depressed and even to commit suicide because then he wins. Then he can't win because, you know, but you are no longer going to be a threat. The moment you die, there's one less person who can take violently the territory of the devil. If you cast out a spirit of sickness, the devil lost the territory. If you lay hands on the sick and you see them recover, the devil lost the territory. But it's compounded because that person's going to be saved. And then that person's whole family's going to be saved. And then that person's going to tell 100 people. It's rigged in our favor. It's like if the bank said to you, look, I'm going to give you 1,000,000% interest. How long would it take before you had all the money in the world? Not very long. Because it's compound interest. One person gets saved and they lead 100 to Christ, who lead 100 to Christ, who lead 100 to Christ, who lead 100 to Christ. Now, it might look bad to you. You might say, oh, but, you know, I don't have any money. I've had a rough time. You know, my wife left me. Hey, rejoice. If you don't have a wife, then you're going to be more effective for the kingdom. Paul said that. He said, it's better for you not to marry. Because if you marry, you're going to be concerned with the needs of your wife. But if you don't marry, you're going to be only concerned with the Lord. So you might think you need a wife, but God's thinking, hey, if you want a wife, I'll give you a wife. Because Paul said it's better not to burn with passion, but I better, you know, but he's thinking, you know, if you don't have a wife, you're going to be a lot more productive. The devil wants you to have a wife, perhaps, because then you're going to be focused on her. Now, it's not bad to have a wife, but there's something about, you know, there's something about the limited time we have on earth to bring hell to the devil, to bring havoc to the kingdom of darkness. And that is the underlined, circled, highlighted thing that you need to understand when I said you need to get understanding. You are here for a moment in time, a breath. The Bible says that our lives are like a vapor that is here, and it's like, ever put a teaspoon above a kettle and it's got a little bit of, you know, or pulled a boiling egg out of water, and then you see the water's gone from the spoon, from the egg. Ever pulled a boiling water egg out of a, ever pulled an egg out of boiling water on a spoon, and then it's wet and then it's dry. Instant. That is your life. You're here for 3 seconds or 70 years or so. We have a very rare opportunity to be God on the earth, to represent God on the earth, to implement God's will, because he can't do it. He can't do it. Now, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. It's been prophesied. It's going to come. His word won't return void. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. But right now, would you make up your mind to agree with heaven? You literally do this. What you do is you literally only do what the Father is doing. Well, how do I do that? Well, you've got to see with your spiritual eyes what he's actually doing. You know, Jesus said, if you receive the word with joy, that's great, but you've got to have roots that go down deep. He said, there are those who the worries of the world would choke the seed, making it unfruitful. Paul said, a soldier doesn't get involved in civilian affairs. So really, you've got to get to the point where you obey him. If you obey him, you will bear fruit. Because if you obey him, Jesus said, you're showing him that you love him. What I'm saying is if you don't lose your life, you're not going to find it. If you save your life, you're going to lose it. You know, Jesus was really clear. He said, you've got to thirst and hunger for righteousness and you'll be filled. You've got to be poor in spirit to receive the kingdom. If you want God and if you want what he wants, then you've got to do what he said. So you get up early in the morning, and you don't think. You don't engage with your physical body that wants to go to the toilet or wants to eat breakfast. You don't engage with your mind that wants to plan your day, that wants to answer the phone. No, you pray in tongues until you're out of your mind. You don't do anything. You don't say anything. You don't go anywhere. You know, we inherit the kingdom, but it's with fear and trembling that we work out our salvation. Paul said he beats his body daily. Now, I thought that my Christian life had to look like, you know, my pastor or his wife or the evangelist on TV. I thought, wow, look at them. They've got a big house and a beautiful car and perfect teeth. And I compared myself to them and I thought, you know, maybe when I'm anointed, maybe when God likes me enough, maybe I'll get promoted and become a pastor. And then I realized, hang on a minute. What happened to Jesus? What happened to Stephen? What happened to Philip? What happened to Paul and Peter and John? I mean, to those people who obeyed God, they lost their lives. They were abandoned by everyone. I mean, Mark abandoned Paul, Barnabas abandoned Paul, Paul's in prison, beaten, you know, the people turning against him, having to go to Jerusalem to, you know, argue with the church that they don't need to be circumcised, dealing with wolves in sheep's clothing and false prophets and, you know, the Christian life is a life of persecution, Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted. It's a life of suffering. Paul said, if you want to reign with him, you are also going to suffer with him. Now, I'm not talking about, nihilism. I'm not talking about trying to look bad so that you look good. I'm saying that if the world hates you, don't be surprised, because you are not of this world. And if you expect to follow Christ, then expect to be treated like Christ. Expect to be hated by this world. Now, when I began to tell God I want to get serious. I'm going to seek first the kingdom. I began to pray in the Spirit every day. And I'm telling you, everything went wrong, in my life. Everything went wrong, but everything went right. Everything is now in order. But there became a line in the sand when I decided to stand for Christ, when I decided to seek first the kingdom, when I decided to not compromise, not to allow the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth to choke the seed, then suddenly, my wife had to change, my family had to change, everything around me changed. I couldn't do the things that I was doing. And God has progressively led me into abundant life, but there were things that had to be removed. There were relationships that had to be removed. Either God did it to protect me and to save me, or people abandoned me, like Paul, like Jesus. Because if you stand for the truth, if you tell people the truth, they are left with an ultimatum, because everywhere you go, you're bringing light. Everywhere you go, you're bringing truth, because you're the kingdom. You're proclaiming the kingdom, which means people are going to either have to change and become like you, or they're going to have to leave. But you can't walk with them if they're not walking where you're walking. So people will try to discredit the witness if the witness is speaking the truth. If you see a murder and the murderer is on trial and you're called to the courtroom as a witness and you have seen the murder firsthand, and you stand up there and say, "Judge, I saw this accused kill that man, he's the murderer." There's no argument with that, because you're a witness to the truth, and I'm a witness to the truth of Jesus Christ. But what can the defense lawyer do? He can say, "Jonathan is an untrustworthy man. He's a liar. He is a this and a that, and I saw him do this, and here's some photos of him, doing something illegal." The only thing the defense lawyer can do is to discredit the witness. And the devil's tried to do that with each one of us. He does it in your own thoughts, trying to disqualify you, saying, God can't use you because you're not good enough because you did this or said that, or you don't have a degree in theology. It's rubbish. As I said, this is the one thing that you do, is you pray in tongues until you're out of your mind. You do what God's saying to do. Now, if he's not saying anything, then don't worry about it. Go about your day, go to work, wash your car, do something for somebody else. We know the will of God through the word of God. We know that we have to forgive others. We know that we have to look after the poor. So do that. But if you have a relationship with the Father and you can pray to him directly because of Jesus Christ in his name, and you know that he's going to answer all of your prayers, then that in itself is enough to keep you busy for your entire life. That you can literally pray the will of God in the name of Jesus Christ. That is what I'm talking about. That is why we're here. When I started, I said we're here for agreement. We are God's, you know, people on the ground. So even if you just do that, say, you know what? God is wanting me to pray for my government. God is wanting to pray for my family. God is wanting me to pray for my city. You can at least do that. But even better than that is if you have a relationship with God because you know Jesus, because you've accepted Jesus, and because he lives inside of you, and the Holy Spirit inside of you is enlightening your eyes, you're reading the Bible, you're becoming transformed into his image by the washing of the water of the word, you begin to pray with understanding. You begin to understand the Lord's Prayer on earth as it is in heaven. You begin to understand, like teaching my children how to drive, you're not just reading the theory on the clutch, you're actually doing it. And maybe the first time you drive, you stall the car a few times. Maybe the first time you drive, you ride the clutch and sort of, you know, cause a little bit of wear and tear on the gears. But it doesn't matter. God will get you there. Eventually, you're going to be humming. You're going to be driving, you know, like a madman in a computer game. Because it's with reason of use that we know good and evil, by testing it, by discerning it. As Paul said, the spiritual man discerns all things. And there is an opportunity for you to be a spiritual man. So let's pray. Father, thank you, Father, right now. I want to pray, I bestow upon them a kingdom. I want to pray that they would receive the kingdom, which is understanding. Oh, Lord, the kingdom is a spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a person, and he will reveal to you everything that Jesus said. He will remind you of everything that Jesus said. And he will empower you to pray. And he will teach you everything that Jesus said and be an anointing that would teach you. So you don't need anyone to teach you because you have an anointing from the Father, who is the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, I pray for these people that you would give them the revelation of the kingdom, that you would give them understanding, that they would be able to implement the kingdom on the earth. And remember, guys, and in Jesus' name, and remember, guys, that you are able to agree with God. And each time you agree with God, you're snatching something from the devil. You're taking away from the kingdom of darkness. You know, people, when they're transferred into the kingdom of light, you know, finances and resources, when you pray, and angels are able to redistribute wealth. Thank you guys for listening. That's enough for now. If you're interested and you want to know more, you can read my first book, The God Men, on Amazon. It's called God Men, lowercase g, God Men, under my name. And it will, you know, blow your mind. You might need to read it, you know, 4 or 5 times to get it. But there's impartation in that book. It may not even seem like Christianity because it's the kingdom. It is Christianity, but it's the kingdom. You'll understand what it actually goes into, what happened when Satan fell. It explains the battle that we're in. It explains with understanding how to implement the kingdom on the earth. That will be awesome. So thank you, Father, for these people who've been listening. God bless them. Guys, you might want to, you know, prayerfully consider sharing this podcast with people who need to be saved. This is not a religious message. This is the, you know, official government message from the kingdom. This is the kingdom message from the government of the kingdom, from the ambassador, the embassy of the kingdom. So thank you guys for listening, and please be prayerful about sharing it. But even more than that, why don't you do it? Why don't you just be the ones who bring heaven to earth violently through your prayers, but also through your action? Bye for now. I love praying with Kevin Zadai because I started to seek first the kingdom, and God gave it to me? That's the first step is, you know, seeking first the kingdom is to ask for the kingdom. And I found that the kingdom is revelation light. You know, he gives me literally revelation. And then if I stewarded that revelation correctly by meditating on it, preaching it, implementing it, then he gives me more information, more revelation. And until I have too much, I don't know what to do with it all. And encounter after encounter, tears after tears, you know, miracle after miracle, provision after provision. Now, when I saw Kevin Zadi, he has understanding. Now, he had an out-of-body experience, like Paul, who said he had a vision and this man was caught up to the third heaven, and whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But this Kevin Zadi, he left the operating table as a, you know, 30-year-old, whatever he was, and he spent 45 minutes with Jesus and had an incredible, you know, download. And I believe that is when I first started watching Kevin, I was like, this guy gets it. You know, he really understands the kingdom. And Kevin sometimes preaches kingdom, but most of the time he's just preaching the word, but he actually gives it, anyway, he gives it application. So I've just taken, there's 19 hours of prayer with Kevin. If you want to practice how to pray with authority in the way that I'm preaching today, I want you to, you know, you can do this. You can listen, pray with Kevin and Kathy Zadi. There's 19 hours. I've posted a link in the show notes here. But just listen to 5 minutes of Kevin praying. And he's in Florida. It's during the, you know, the last few years. But you can agree with him for your city, for your nation. Bye for now.
So let's start. Praise God. Father, I just thank you so much. As it says in Psalms 102, it's actually one. Psalms 110:2 says, Father, that you shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, and you shall rule against my enemies. So the Lord, we just thank you that you're sending your rod right now. That's going to hurt. Thank you, Lord. You're sending your rod right now to the midst of our enemies. That rod is a rod of righteousness. It is your standard from heaven. And so I thank you for Psalms 110, verse 2, Lord. I thank you that you shall send your scepter. Ha, ha, ha. Father, thank you for sending your scepter to Florida.
Yes.
I pray for every leader in Florida right now. I pray for this government in Florida right now. I thank you that you're the rod of your righteousness, your scepter, you've sent in the midst. And that your enemies are scattered, Father. I thank you. And that the church supports the righteous leadership in this state. I break every power against righteousness. I speak against every evil power. I'm not afraid of you. Because the Lord has sent his scepter in our midst. And so I command you, you evil spirits, to go in Jesus' name. By the power and the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Your righteousness reigns and rules. Thank you. Jesus, you said that whatever we bind on the earth is going to be bound in heaven. Matthew 18:18. And so we know, Lord, that whatever we forbid, is forbidden. And so, Father, I just thank you right now that we forbid evil spirits to operate in this state in Jesus' name. We break a power of the authority of the devil in Jesus' name. Whatever we forbid is forbidden. Whatever we permit is permitted. That's what one translation says. So, Lord, we thank you and we agree as touching this one thing that you will rule and reign in Florida. Hallelujah. Angels of the Lord, you know what to do. You go forth and you cause righteousness to rule and reign in this state in the name of Jesus, and support the governor who is standing firm. for this state. All the local governments, I break the power of every foul, lying disease in this state. I break the power of that weaponized disease from our foreign enemies that was sent here to destroy America. I break that power in Jesus' name, and I command every evil spirit that's promoting that foul disease to go in Jesus' name. I speak to every person's immune system in the name of Jesus. I command you to be strong. Your immune systems all over the world, everyone watching, the thousands that are watching, I speak to your immune system and I command what God has put in you to fight disease. I command that to come up and be strong now in Jesus' name. Supernatural impartation in people's immune systems right now, all over the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you said in Mark 16, 17, you said that these signs are going to follow those who believe. Well, we're believing ones. And in your name, we're going to cast out devils. We're going to speak with new tongues. We're going to have special power to do special works that the Holy Spirit has assigned for this generation to do. And I agree with it, just like Jesus said in Mark 16, 17. I believe that wherever we go, signs and wonders are going to follow. I believe that devils know that they must go if they see a believer. I believe that devils will actually opt out before they're even addressed in Jesus' name. We're going to drive out. We're going to expel them. We're going to expel them in Jesus' name. Ha, ha, ha. Mark 16, 18 says, they shall take up serpents and they can drink any deadly thing, but it will not hurt them. They're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. So, Father, I thank you that it is your command that we lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. That we eat or drink any deadly thing, it's not going to hurt us. In the name of Jesus. This is part of the gospel signs, and we're going to accept that in Jesus' name. All right, Father, you said in Luke 10:19, through Jesus, you said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the authority of the enemy. And so, Lord, we just take authority over the devil right now. And we break his power in the name of Jesus. We trample on serpents and scorpions. Over every satanic foe, we sense right now in the name of Jesus, every satanic foe, everyone. Father, you've invested your power in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the body. Hallelujah. I've been given authority. Say it. I've been given authority over serpents and scorpions, over the devil. I have authority over the devil. Blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The name of Jesus. We drive out devils. Ha, ha, ha. Jesus, you said in John 14, 12, very verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, you will do also. And greater works than these. He said, he promised this. He told us this is the way it's going to be. And so, Father, I accept that assignment. I want to do the works of Jesus. I want to do the greater works, whatever they are. I don't even know if we've seen the greater works yet. So I don't know how people can say, well, I don't believe that when you haven't even seen it yet. Romans 5:17 says, for with one man's offense, death reigned by one, with much more will you receive the grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through Christ Jesus. So I'm going to reign in life. If one man caused all of this to happen, Adam, then Jesus, that one man, it says that through this one man, we have the gift of righteousness and will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. So that's us. We're going to reign in this life. So we are priests and kings, Father. We're priests and kings, Father. Thank you. Priests and kings. Hallelujah. We're pulling down strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Paul the Apostle said this by the Spirit in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Father, you have given us weapons of warfare. And we take those weapons and we pull down everything. Everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Every evil spirit, every word, anything that's exalted itself above the gospel, the message, the doctrine that was given by the apostles, anything that exalts itself above that false doctrine, we take it into captivity now. I break every kind of disease. Every disease in this room must bow to the name of Jesus. I break the power. I don't want to hear one demon talk. I don't want to see one manifestation of a demon right now in the name of Jesus. I break that power right now in the name by the blood. No one should go out of here sick. No one should go out of here with a demon. You should go out of here with a testimony. Deliverance has come in Jesus' name. Come on now, body. Come on now. Join me and pray. Yeah. The devil can't have you. The devil can't have this nation. The devil can't have this state. I forbid it. We all agree. We forbid the devil have this nation. Somebody's got to stand up and slap the devil. Somebody's got to slap him. Come on now. Just stand up and pray in the Spirit. Overthrow. Stand up in your authority. Stand up in your authority and take authority over the devil right now. Come on. The flow of the Spirit's here. The flow of the Spirit's here. Se si vede dresciatore, 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 vede dresci